and we're going to look at the exodus of the people coming out of Egypt. And so in Exodus 13, at the very beginning of chapter 13, Moses tells the Israelites to remember this day, to remember the day that God brought you out of Egypt. Stories shape our lives. A lot of you can probably think back of a childhood memory or something that's happened in your past that has really shaped who you are today. It could have been something that happened as a child. It could have been the day that you got married, the day that you maybe had a child. It could have been anything that happened during your time during your school. It could have been a numerous things, but stories and experiences shape our lives. They help determine or help shape who we are as a person. And so, and what we will find in the book of Exodus, that this was a life-changing time, a life-changing story for the people of Israel. And that the people of Israel, the way that they're going to remember how, what God had done for them and what God is doing for them is through the partaking of the Passover. And so what the Passover will show is that it will show God's power, it will show His mercy, and it will show His that He's a God that keeps His promises. And in the institution of the Passover, they're remembering God's saving power and grace from generation to generation. You know, the idea of remembering is an important idea for Christianity. Throughout the Bible, it tells us to remember. I don't know about you, but I can be a very forgetful person sometimes. I'll go downstairs and forget why in the world I went downstairs and what to get until I come back upstairs and Courtney tells me, well, where's the drink that you told me you were going to go get? And so I have to go all the way back downstairs and get the drink that I was supposed to get for her to begin with. And so I don't know about you, but remembering is something that I probably need to do more than what I actually do. Throughout the Bible, it tells us to remember. In Nehemiah, it says to remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. In Psalms, it tells you to remember the works, the wondrous works that He has done for us. It's extremely important to remind ourselves of what God has done for us. And in this sense, the Israelites are being reminded of what God has done and will do for them. And so the Passover was something that they celebrated throughout their time in the wilderness. They celebrated as they entered the Promised Land. They continued to celebrate the Passover continually until Christ came. And so what we're going to see through the Passover is that things that we need to remind ourselves every day of what God has done for us. And so read with me in chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to read all two chapters, and so I'm going to kind of break down a few verses at a time, and then we'll talk about it. So read with me Exodus 12, 1 through 12. It said, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month is to the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of your year. Tell your whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, they each should select an animal of flock according to their father's families, one per family. If the household is too small for a whole animal, that person and the neighbor nearest his house are to select one based on the combined number of people. You should apportion the animal according to what each will eat. You must have an unblemished animal, a year old male. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You are to keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel will slaughter the animals at twilight. They must take the sum of the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintels of the house where they eat them. They are to eat the meat that night. They should eat it, roast it over a fire, along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or cooked in boiling water, but roast it over fire, its head as well as its legs and inner organs. You must not leave it, until morning. Any part of it left until morning you must burn. Here is how you must eat it. You must be dressed for travel, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You are to eat it in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, both people and animals. I am the Lord, and I will execute judgments against the gods of Egypt." And so as we dig into this text, I know there's a lot going on in that passage as far as like why God specifically commanded certain things to happen in that sense. But in that command, we're going to see how we can remember what God has done for us. So let's pray as we dig into this text. Father, as we look at the book of Exodus and the giving of the Passover to your people, Lord, help us to see what you have done through Jesus Christ. And Lord, how we have hope in Jesus, and that in Jesus, Lord, we have purpose, and we can go out and live a full and purposeful life, Father. So Lord, enlighten our minds, give us obedient hearts so that we can serve you better, Father. And we ask this in your name, amen. You know, in our country, we have scheduled holidays, right? We take time to celebrate Memorial Day, Independence Day, Martin Luther King. We have several holidays that we celebrate that our country has said, on this day, we're going to celebrate this day for certain purposes. Most of you look forward to those holidays because you get off work on those holidays. And so, in this sense, God has determined a day each and every year that they will sell, or each and every month that they will celebrate this Passover, reminding them of what God had done, or in that year that God had done. And so, what we're seeing is what God is doing is on a grander scale than what we do in our country, that we set a day apart. But in this sense, God is doing it on a bigger scale to remember what he has done for them. And so in verses 1 through 12, God is giving them directions of how to do the Passover. And then after that, you see Moses going to the elders and telling them what God has told them. And that kind of takes us through the rest of the chapter until the Exodus. And so here's what we see. Kind of let me describe what's happening. On the 10th day of the month, each household is to take a one-year-old lamb that's without blemish. So basically, this is a lamb or a goat that is without flaw. There is no flaw. As you can look from outward appearance, that this lamb or goat doesn't seem to have any mark, any blemish on their body at all. The lamb served as a substitute for the people's sin. And so these qualifications for a lamb were very important, because if we were to read on in the book of Deuteronomy, that if anyone was to sacrifice an unblemished lamb or goat, then it would be an abomination before God. So making sure that this goat or lamb was unblemished was incredibly important to make sure that they had the right animal during this time. Because Israel needed the perfect sacrifice. They needed the perfect substitute for themselves, and it had to be perfect. It couldn't be blemished at all. It had to be perfect. You see, the need for the perfect sacrifice reminds us of our own state. It reminds us that we're being corrupted by our sin and that we cannot save ourselves. Our good works is like a blemished lamb, that if we present our good works before God, it's still an abomination to God, that no matter how good we think we are, the goodness that we put before God is still filthy rags before God, that we need the perfect sacrifice on our behalf to offer up the perfection and holiness to God on our behalf. And that's what God gave us in Jesus. Jesus was the perfect sacrificial lamb for us. And the only way through to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. He alone is our only hope. And so we see that they had to have a perfect, unblemished lamb or goat. Then in verses 8 through 11, God told them to serve how to serve and eat the lamb. It was to be served with unleavened bread, but they also had to put bitter herbs on the lamb to eat it. And this was reminding them of the bitterness of the work and the bitterness that they experienced in Egypt. And it reminds them of what the bitterness that God brought them out of. And so what we see here is that likewise, we need to remember the bitterness of what God had saved us from. We were in bitter bondage to our sin, yet in Christ, God brought us out of that bitterness and saved us into a full and purposeful life in Christ. He gave us new life. A lot of times we don't praise God for this. We don't praise God for what he's brought us out of, because we have a very low view of sin. A lot of times we look at our sin and we think, oh, we're not really that bad. We do some good stuff. I may not be perfect. We may not admit that we're perfect, but we probably won't admit that we're as bad as what the Bible says that we are. Thomas Watson, he was an old Puritan back in the 1800s, he wrote this in one of his books. He says, "Till sin be bitter, Christ will not be sweet." Remember what God has done for you and remember the bitterness that you came out of. And until sin is bitter in your heart and you see the sinner that you are and the bitterness that you are in before Christ, Christ will not be sweet to you. And so we need to remember the perfect sacrifice that was given on our behalf and the substitute that was given for us in Jesus Christ, and remember the bitterness that God has brought us out of. And then God goes into detail about what you're to do with the blood of the animal that was sacrificed. And you're to put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the house, showing that judgment has already fallen on this house. And so you're saying, well, how has that happened? Because the judgment fell on the sacrifice. So if you were to sacrifice a lamb, God's judgment fell on that sacrifice. And once you put the blood on the doorpost, that signifies that the judgment has already been made for this family. So as God brought judgment, God's judgment would pass over that family because the judgment has already been brought on the lamb. In the same way, that's what happened to us with Christ. Christ was the perfect sacrifice for us. And in giving our life and by faith saying that Christ was the sacrifice for us and I'm giving my life to Christ because he lived the life I couldn't live and he died the death that I deserved, that through his blood that God's judgment is passed over us because of what Christ has done for us. And that judgment fell on Christ and not on us. And so in verses 24 through 27, we see the observance of the Passover was a way to reflect on God's grace. But in reflecting on God's grace, they wanted to teach the younger generations of what happened in the Passover and what happened with the sacrificial lamb and what happened in the Exodus. It was a way to teach the younger children. And what we see time and time again with the Passover is it was a way to teach sound doctrine to the children and to the younger generations. So as they grew up, they would grow up in this sound doctrine. And so we also need to be diligent in teaching our children sound doctrine so that as they grow up, they will grow up and seeing what God has done for them and grow up with a love for the Lord so that they can be disciples of Jesus also. Teaching children and teaching the younger generations to come was vital to the Israelites in this day and is also vital for us today. That we have to be teaching our children and the children in this church what Christ has done for them, that they can grow in love and admiration for Christ. And so we need to remember the substitute, the perfect substitute for us, the sacrificial lamb in Jesus Christ. Then we see in verse 29, we see the actual conclusion of this judgment. So read with me in 29 through 32. In chapter 12, now at midnight, the Lord struck every firstborn male in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat his throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon and every firstborn of livestock. During the night, Pharaoh got up along with his officials and all the Egyptians, and there was a loud wailing throughout Egypt because there wasn't a house without someone dead. He summoned Moses and Aaron during the night and said, get out immediately from among my people, both you and the Israelites, go. Worship the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have asked and leave, and also bless me. Not only do we remember the substitute that was made on our behalf, but we need to remember the severity and the mercy of God. Firstborn children in that time of Moses was a wonderful privilege. We can understand losing a child and the tragedy that goes along with any child, but it was especially devastating in those days to lose a firstborn child. With this in mind, God's judgment in the killing of the firstborn showed the seriousness of their sin and shows the seriousness of our sin. God judged all of Egypt without distinction, whether rich or poor, whether you were good, whether you were bad. There was no distinction in this judgment. Israel at times were able to be set apart from a lot of the plagues that happened. But this plague hit everybody. There was nobody who would be that would be safe from this plague apart from the ones who did according to what God had told them to do in the sacrificing of the lamb. See, this blow not only hurt Egypt, but it also was a blow to the gods of Egypt, the ones that they worship. Because basically God was showing with this one swift swoop of this plague was destroying in one swipe every God that Egypt had ever worshipped, because their gods weren't able to save them from this plague. But God showed that he was the only one powerful and that God is the one that does the judging. We should remember the severity, but also the mercy of God, because God made a way that nobody would have had to face that judgment. But the ones who rejected God's commands were the ones that faced the judgment. You know, we're all like Pharaoh in a sense. We all deserve this type of judgment. There's no one in this room that doesn't deserve that type of judgment from God, because we're all sinners. And some think that they'll never be judged. Some think that they can spend their life and maybe avoid judgment at times. But here's the interesting thing. We're all like Pharaoh to an extent. We're all trying to build up pyramids for ourselves. We're trying to stock those pyramids with as much goods, as much stuff, with as much popularity as we possibly can have. And sadly, we will end up a lot like Pharaoh. And then one day when God's judgment hits, it's too late. You've passed God's mercy. And the question for us today is that as Christians, we need to remember the severity of judgment that we were under, but yet the mercy that God gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ. That He didn't have to give us the sacrificial lamb for all of humanity, but He did. And that shows His love for us. So we not only need to remember His severity, but we need to remember that Christ was our substitute, and that shows God mercy in that. You see, the Israelite had to sacrifice a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. You know, a lot of times we think that we're innocent to an extent, that some people can withstand God's judgment, or God won't think that the way that I am is as bad as I am. But the reality is that there's no innocent people in this story. Everybody was under God's judgment. I use this illustration a lot. It would be like Courtney and I going to Mount Everest. And it'd be like we're standing there at Mount Everest and we're looking up at the tallest point in all of the world. And it's like me looking down at my wife, who's 5'1", and saying, "Man, you're really short right now." But in reality, it's like when we're standing next to the tallest point on this earth, we're both extremely short. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm 6 or 7 inches taller than my wife. Compared to Everest, we're still way short of what's considered tall. And that's the way our sin is with God. We're way short of the standard. You may think you're a little bit better than some other people, but in reality, to the standard that God has set, you're way below the standard that God has set. And you're all sinners, and we're all sinners in need of God's judgment. You know, a lot of times we like to think that we're better than we are, but when we stand next to a holy God, we're vitally sinful. We are so much more sinful than we think we are. It is only by the substitute of Jesus Christ that we can be made right before God. And we need to remember the sacrificial lamb, but remember the severity of the judgment that we were under, but yet God's mercy to send that sacrificial lamb to us. But not only do we need to remember those two things, but we need to remember the deliverance that God gave us. Right after this, Pharaoh tells them to get out, and Pharaoh tells them just to leave the land, because in a sense, he's telling them, like, you've basically cursed my land, it seems like. All the firstborn in my land have died. And so basically, there was no inheritance left in Egypt. Like, all the people who were supposed to inherit the family land and everything were gone. And so he was like, you basically cursed my land, so just get out. And so in this, he's telling them to remember the deliverance that God has given them. Most of you may know who John Newton is. If you don't know, he's the guy who wrote the song Amazing Grace. He spent most of his life on ships dealing with he was a big slave trader back in the day, along with numerous other sins that was in his life. And before he came a Christian, there were several times where he was nearly shipwrecked. There were several times that he nearly died at sea. And then there was one final storm that would have just crippled his ship and just wrecked his ship, and all the crew would have died unless they had gotten to shore, and they were able to get to shore. And in that moment, John Newton started to look back at his life and start to see how God had protected his life and protected him from numerous other storms, and how He had delivered him time and time again and protected him to the point that he was at today. And then he gave his life to Christ and was one of the main advocates against the slave trade after that, after his conversion. You know, in this sense, God wanted the Israelites to be reminded of the deliverance time and time again that He had given them in the book of Exodus. And the time finally arrived for them to leave. And through many of the hardships and struggles, He wanted to remind them that He is still faithful to them. And that deliverance had arrived, and God had provided the promises that He had told them time and time again. But this book, this Exodus, is just pointing us to a greater Exodus. that we have a king who vacated the grave. We have a king who gave life to men because he vacated the grave. When you read the book of Exodus, a lot of times you think that the people of Israel were going from slavery to freedom. And it's actually quite the opposite here. In chapter 4, Moses tells Pharaoh to let his people go so they can worship God. The word that they use for worship is actually the same word that's used to describe the slavery under the Egyptians with the Israelites. And so what we see here is that the Israelites are going from slavery to slavery. And so, but the question is that God is saying they will no longer serve you, but now they are being free to serve me. And so in our life, we're not free to do whatever we want, but we have freedom to do with whatever God has designed us to be. And what we see is that true freedom only comes under the rule of God. And so what we see is that the Israelites moved from forced labor to free labor under God. And in deliverance from sin, we see that we are free to live and to serve for God in whatever ways that He calls us to live. And that's the only way that we can have true freedom, is in His deliverance from our sin. We serve Him not because we feel like we have to, but we serve Him because we want to, because of what He's done for us in Jesus Christ. He's delivered us, and we need to remember the deliverance that He gave us. So not only do we remember our substitute, not only do we remember the severity, but yet mercy of God, and not only do we remember the deliverance that we've gotten from God, but we remember the strong hand of the Lord. We set a lot of things aside, whether money, whether time. A lot of times we set them aside for a greater purpose, whether you set money aside to go on a trip, whether you set money aside to buy something that you've been wanting to buy for a long time. A lot of times we set things aside for a later purpose. In Israel, the firstborn was kind of set aside to inherit a lot of stuff in the end. But to dedicate your firstborn to the Lord meant that you were dedicating your whole family to the Lord. It was saying that our family belongs to you, God. And then throughout the book, and especially in Exodus 13:9, there's this phrase that happens over and over again. It says, "For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with a strong hand." This is the picture of just God's mighty salvation. And in this, through the meal of the Passover, they're reminded of God's mighty hand bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them salvation. In a way, the meal calls them to remember. Growing up, I grew up playing baseball my whole life, and every time I went to the baseball field, someone would bring a grill, and this was the little league field that I grew up on. They would bring a grill, and they would just grill hot dogs. And every time I would go to a baseball field, I would smell those hot dogs, and I would always eat a hot dog when I was young, when I was at the baseball field. I just had to have one. And even when I go to ballparks today, whether I get one or not, I crave a hot dog. And so, but even when we cook hot dogs at our house or whatever, I'm reminded of my Little League baseball memories and stuff like that. Well, in the same way, this is what the Passover was doing. This meal was reminding them of everything that God had done for them. And so what do we do with that? What do we do with remembering God and remembering what He has done for us? I think we need to remember that true freedom only comes in Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. We need to remember that He was our perfect substitute. We come into the presence of God as a blemished lamb. But through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the unblemished Lamb, He gives us His righteousness so that we can stand before God righteous. Not because I have any righteousness in me, but because Christ gives me His. And God sees His righteousness in me and not my own. So we praise God for our substitute. We praise God for the substitute that was made on our behalf. At Easter, I told you a story of two Moravian missionaries who found out that there was a people group on an island that were slaves to a harsh ruler. And their ruler wouldn't allow any missionaries or any other people on the island. He was just on the island by himself with these slaves. And they wouldn't allow any type of missionary, any type of pastor onto their island. And so these guys heard about this and thought that there would be no way for these people to ever hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these two missionaries said that we're going to sell ourselves into slavery and go to this island so that we can tell the other people about Jesus. And so the story goes that as these guys got on the ship to board, to go over to the island that they were going to become slaves to, that they linked arms and cried out over the sea this statement. They said, "May this lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." As we remember back what Christ has done for us, allow our lives to reflect what Christ has done for us. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering through our lives. And the question for us is, are we willing to give up our lives for what Christ has done for us? You are under God's judgment, whether you want to believe it or not. And one day judgment is coming, but God has made the perfect sacrifice for you in his Son. And that by faith in him, you may receive, you will receive the righteousness of Christ. And that God's judgment will pass over you because of what Christ has done for you, not because of any works that you've ever done. And we need to thank God for that. We need to remember that daily. And hopefully that is what pursues us to mission for God, so that Christ will receive the reward of his suffering that he took on the cross through our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for the cross. We're so thankful for Jesus. Father, I pray that as we remember and as we reflect on what Jesus has done, Lord, allow that to stir in our hearts. Allow that to help us to move to action, Father, that the one who gave it all for us, that we'll give it all for him. Father, I pray that today as we are here, time of invitation, that we're just obedient to whatever you're calling us to do. So, Lord, stir in our hearts, stir in our lives, and stir in this church, Father, and move us to whatever direction that you're moving us to. And we ask this in your name. Amen.